Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Choose life. Well, why this subject, and how does it differ from the commandments? Okay, well, let's look at this for a second. You know how I feel about abortion, but this isn't about that today. But I think there are some important things that are in our reach. You know, there's so many things, especially in the gospel, too. There's probably 10 sermons out of that. So what do I do? So I thought, choosing life out of the Old Testament is probably one of the best things we can do. All right. But if your heart turns away, you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them. I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you're going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Well, I got thinking about that. What does that mean? Well, when's the last time any of us worshiped Baal in here? We didn't. Okay. How about the Sumerian God? We didn't. So we're all Christian, right? Well, so what's it talking about? First commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, we're not doing it, so that doesn't apply to us. Oh, yeah, it do. When I was in Texas, we had some young kids, and the league that they played soccer in had games on Sunday mornings. So what do you do? Well, the mom says, well, he's going to go play soccer. And the dad, who was very Christian, said, nope, that's the Lord's morning. The least we can do is go to church. She was not happy about that. But now stop and think about that. If that playing soccer took the place of going to church, is that another God? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. So the thing is, whether we call it a god or we call it an idol or whatever, there are other things. Well, what are some of the other ones that we have? You know, Super Bowls today. Okay. What do you do when your team's game starts at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning? You go to church. I always got a kick when I was in Mormon country because they can't do anything on Sundays besides church. So they would always record games so they could watch them on Monday. And I asked one of them, I said, don't you already know the score? No, don't tell it to me because I don't look them up. Okay. But somebody said something about it. Well, we all sort of agreed that we're going to watch it on Mondays. I said, what about family home evening? Well, sometimes it's our family home evening we watch football. Okay. Interesting. Well, what about drinking alcohol? What if you're dependent on alcohol? Is that another god? Anything that you place as an operating thing for you to do that's more important than anything else has become a god in your life. You know, and it's one of those things, no matter what we do with that, there's always a problem. But it's something we all face. If you have something you like better than to the detriment, shall we say, of your family, is it a god? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Okay.
That's why they
invented Saturday services. Well, yeah, so you could watch it on Sunday. But she's right. Here's how the Old Testament keeps on going. All right, so we talked about this. I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, for you were not ready, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos. Are you not being merely human? Well, if you're following Paul, or I follow Apollos, are you following Christ? So what you've done is taken those two men and put them on pedestals. When I had a call that I had to go in and do a sermon for in Titusville, Florida. So I get there, preach, people loved it. And I had somebody ask me, how did they? And they said, how do you view your role in the church? I said, I'm the CSIC. Well, what's that? I'm the chief sinner in charge. I mean, you could just hear all the air went out. You know, folks, you don't put the pastor on a pedestal either. We're sinners. We're all sinners. We're all, as Pastor John reminds me every time he comes up to the Lord's table, I'm in need of this. Yeah, we are. Okay? Because without salvation, without forgiveness, what do we got?
Nothing.
Okay? So the thing is, I lost that call. But also, if that church was set up so that the pastor's on a pedestal, the only thing you could do is fall off the pedestal. Okay? It's not real. But here's the thing. You know, we want to be in the Spirit of God, not the flesh, right? Okay, so what does that mean? Well, if you go into Galatians 5, it's got a whole list of things for being in the Spirit, a whole list of things of being in the flesh. All right, so it just boils down, you want to be good to people, right? You want to be nice to people. There's three things I think that are horrible. And they're the woulds, shoulds, and coulds. Now stop and think about this for a second. Well, you should have done that. How many times have you heard somebody say that to you? Yeah. Well, were you here to tell me what you wanted? Then why are you judging? Judge not, lest you too be judged. Well, if you would have done this, same thing, coulds. All right, so let me ask you this. Are shoulds, woulds, and coulds of the Spirit or are they of the flesh? But yet, haven't we all fallen into that? Okay? Because anytime you apply any one of those three, you're judging. Judge not, lest you too be judged. All right. You know, one of the things. How do you learn? Is he right? You bet you are. Unless you make the mistake, you can't learn. But how many times have we thought that we have to be perfect? Well, because many times our parents told us we had to be perfect, right? When I was teaching in my own private studio, I always would take the student and make them take a piece of paper and write perfect on it. Okay, now I want you to tear it up. All right? Tore it all up. Now throw it up in the air. Let it fall on the ground. See what perfect's worth? Nothing. Now help me pick up the perfect stuff that's on the ground. That's all it's worth. So the thing is, and I've talked about this in here before, if you're at 51%, are you good? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, enjoy the good. You know, I don't know how many times when I was teaching, you get a student that comes in with a 95%. I failed. What do you mean you failed? I didn't get 100%. So? Are you in the A range? Yeah. Well, then what's the problem? Oh, my folks are going to be mad. Good. Tell them to come in and take the test and see how they do. You see? Don't judge. And when we start looking at these things, you know, it just boils down. Don't put the gods in front of you. Don't follow Apollos. Don't follow Paul. Follow Christ. And what did he tell us to do? Love your neighbor as yourself. And love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Can you do that? Yeah, I think so too. You know, when we looked at, I was thinking about how do I put the gospel in there? Well, the gospel is pretty clear. Okay. But the thing about divorce, there's other sections in Matthew that talks about don't be unevenly yoked. And then it's okay for divorce. But the thing is, what he is telling us in that is don't just say, I don't like that today, so I'm going to get a divorce. Boy, it'd be real easy to do that, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. Because if you're not perfect, I don't want to be with you again. Okay, good. If you're looking for somebody perfect, forget it, because you ain't going to find it. Oh, better watch her. You might be talking about your second one.
One is enough.
You know, but folks, that's the thing. Love your person that you're with. Love your neighbor. It's okay. Can they make a mistake?
Yep.
Yeah, because if they do, that means they're going to get better. One would hope.
For some reason.
That's right. And that's, you get upset with them. Sorry, Pat, I don't want to put you on the foot. If I did that, you'd let me know. You know, when we come down to this kind of stuff, be with everyone. You know, I'm not just your spouse, although that's important, but be with everyone. Have fun with the people you're with. You know, I heard that thing, if I can't love, be with the woman I love, I'm going to love the woman I'm with. What? Somehow I don't think that one works very well. But if we love everyone we're with, then it's okay. A little bit different, isn't it? He who plants and he who waters are one. Who's that? God. And each will receive his wages according to his labor. All right, because God's telling us, right, if you're doing that, you're with God, right? For we are God's fellow workers. It's not just him, it's him and us. You are God's field, God's building. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give. Old Testament, gospel. Is the gospel in the Old Testament? Is there a law in the New Testament? When God, well, when Jesus talks about the Beatitudes in Matthew 5. Thank you. Sorry, I'm just a pastor. He tells us, look, everything he tells us is something to do, right? But yet doing is law. But yet if it comes out of Jesus' mouth, is it law? Yeah. Is it gospel?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it both?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and so that's the thing. But we want to live what? In the law or in the gospel? We want to live in the gospel. And that's not easy at times. But the more we try, the better we get. Well, my friends, may this choice of everlasting life, choose life, keep your hearts and minds joyfully following God's commandments. Amen.
Amen. Amen.